This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon. It is Carrie Hotter in for Linda Swain here on Target St. John's today. I hope you're having a good one, maybe enjoying some sunshine. It is absolutely beautiful out there for the middle of October. Today we've got two guests on the line for On Target St. John's. We're speaking with two representatives of the Harris Center. Rob Greenwood is the Associate Vice President of Public Engagement and External Relations and Director of the Harris Center. Welcome, Rob.
Well, great to be here. Thanks.
And we've also got Kathy Newhook on the line. She's the Manager of Engagement and Communications at the Harris Center. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi there.
I guess, first of all, for people that are out there listening, some people might not know what the Harris Center is. So, Rob, if you wouldn't mind giving us an overview of exactly what the Harris Center is, that'd be a great place to start.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite topics. The Harris Center has been in place now. We're in our 17th year, actually. And it's the Leslie Harris Center of Regional Policy and Development, named after former Memorial University President Leslie Harris, of course. And we really are there to be a vehicle to connect the faculty, staff, and students of the university with the needs of the province. So we play a bridging role, and we merged two centers back in 2004 when we were first established. And that's why it has a regional development focus as well as a public policy focus. And the two, of course, overlap a whole lot. And so we've developed over those 17 years a whole lot of programs that relate to public policy. People will be familiar with our Galbraith lecture annually, Memorial Present sessions, Synergy sessions. But we've also done regional workshops all around the province. We have a suite of applied research funds that enable faculty, students, and staff to work with community partners and industry on shared priorities. And always, though, in the name of Dr. Leslie Harris, our brand is all about integrity and independence. So it really harnesses that amazing capacity that is Memorial University in all our campuses. And this new initiative we'll be talking about is just the latest example of that work.
Excellent. So the new initiative is called Forecast NL. The Harris Center has announced this new project focused on climate change and its impacts on the economy and society in Newfoundland and Labrador. Kathy, tell me about Forecast NL.
Sure. Well, essentially, it's an 18-month project. We've decided to kind of hijack our regular public policy programming and focus on the question of what are the impacts of climate change on the economy and society in Newfoundland and Labrador. So we really want to dive into that question and unpack it in all of its many, many facets. And as part of that process, so that will include, you know, public policy lectures and panel discussions and presentations and that sort of thing that we would usually do, but all under that one main theme. But in addition to that, we're also looking to recruit 45 members of the general population, so 45 average Newfoundlanders and Labradorians who are demographically and regionally representative of the province, to sit on a citizens forum. And that citizen forum will kind of agree to engage in all of the all the material that we're putting out and engage with the experts and provide their questions and insight and ideas about what the information is being presented and where we can go in the future and really kind of generate a nice in-depth and honest discussion about the topic.
Okay, so what kind of work would be required of these 45 volunteers?
Well, it's I wouldn't call it work.
I mean, there is some sort of a time commitment to this, right?
There is certainly. So it would be engaging in agreeing to participate in all of the different sessions. So we'll be putting off sessions around one session every 6 weeks or so, maybe a little bit more frequently than that, to kind of depending on how it rolls out. but people on the Citizen Forum would be, you know, watching those sessions online. If they can't watch it live, they can always watch it afterwards. We record everything and post them all online. And really what we're hoping that those citizens will do is commit to engaging in the content in a real, honest way. So, listening to the session, reading through some, material similar to what we do with Vital Signs, so really easy to digest stuff, and providing their comments and feedback and asking questions of the presenters and asking the experts. We really want to kind of allow the process to shift as we unpack some of those questions. So, questions that the Citizen Forum may raise in the first couple of sessions may inform what kind of sessions we have done in the future. So if there's a need to, unpack something particularly about what about nuclear in Newfoundland and Labrador, then we'll have a session about that and so on. So we'll kind of craft the sessions based on what the key questions are for the population of the province to help people understand it, but also help unpack some ideas and uncover some ideas that haven't really been uncovered yet.
Okay, so you were looking for 45 average citizens, Rob. Do you look for people that are passionate about climate change already, or can it literally be anyone off the street as long as it's, representative geographically of the province?
It can be literally, you should be passionate about the province. You should be passionate about a sustainable future for our province. But that sustainability relates to climate and economy and society. And, we developed this concept before the pandemic broke out. And, of course, everything going forward will be informed by the pandemic and how we hopefully come out of it sooner rather than later. But we heard loud and clear when we do our annual strategic plan process for the Harris Center. I think we're the only organization in the province that has an annual public consultation on our strategic plan. And we heard loud and clear at our session in St. John's, at our session in Corner Brook, we also have online, that people are very concerned. And at the time, of course, the climate crisis was the dominant issue. The pandemic has momentarily, I think, pushed that aside. But we know with the oil and gas importance in Newfoundland and Labrador, we know with extreme weather, we know with our Indigenous peoples and northern communities, with the coastal erosion, impacts on natural resources, it affects all of us. And so we have lots of experts in the university, and our job is to harness them to make it available to inform government, community, industry. We have lots of partners in government and in industry and in community organizations who also have expertise. And so the Harris Center approach is always to bring together the expertise from inside and outside the university. But we know that governments respond to the electorate, which is all us normal people throughout the province. And we know that business responds to consumers, where they spend their money. And so we often have people operating with assumptions that haven't been tested, or we have people who are very knowledgeable in one area, say climate change, who have less direct knowledge on the economy, or vice versa. And so the intent of this exercise is to break down the silos between expertise and people who know their lives best, but may not be expert in particular research areas, but also break the silos down between those focused on climate as their top focus, people focused on economic as their top focus, or people focused on social issues, because these things don't operate in isolation. So we really want people who are interested in the connections and how it relates to our families, our communities, and our various sectors.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on Target St. John's. We're talking about Forecast NL, a new project from the Harris Center. Rob Greenwood and Kathy Newhook are our guests, and we'll be back right after this.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Good afternoon. It is Carrie Hotter with you here on Target St. John's. Today, we are speaking with Kathy Newhook, the Manager of Engagement and Communications at the Harris Center, and Rob Greenwood. He's the Associate Vice President of Public Engagement and External Relations and the Director of the Harris Center. And we're talking about their new program. It's a new project called Forecast NL. Rob, I've just been reading over some materials on Forecast NL, and the introduction to the series is The State We're In. So what kind of state are we actually in here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Well, that's a good expression in Newfoundland, of course. You're some state. And as we all know, of course, the fiscal situation in the province is extremely severe with the costs around Muskrat Falls and then the drop in revenues from oil and gas, with the oil and gas sector facing troubles before the pandemic broke out and then exacerbated afterwards. And on top of all that fiscal, of course, it relates to all the services we depend on from government. But in addition to that, there's direct employment challenges, the oil and gas sector and all the supply sector and all the revenues that government has that are impacted by that. And then you layer onto that the impacts of the pandemic. And all of that is in the context, in the area the Harris Center has done a lot of work over the last number of years with a bunch of faculty and students from the university on demographics. And we know that we have an aging population. We know we've had rural to urban and out-migration for many years. We did have several years there when the oil boom was on, when we had net in-migration, but that has petered off. And so we really are in 2020, as we all know, the year that's the gift that keeps on giving in a negative sense. But in other respects, when we look at it, and of course, this whole issue is in the context of global climate change. And so this project is looking at all those factors. But I also, you know, think there's a lot of things we have to be thankful for in this province. And being part of Canada and the resources our country can bring to dealing with a crisis. And we can see, in fact, the federal government has a big emphasis on a green recovery. And so that's a challenge for some of us in the oil and gas sector in our province. But we also see, and groups like the Newfoundland Environmental Industry Association see the real strengths that oil and gas supply companies and service companies and the environmental knowledge we've gained can actually help us diversify, take advantage of oil and gas as the inverted commas, cleanest oil and gas available, as long as there's a demand, and I'm sure there's going to be a demand for quite a number of years. But more and more, we have to look at the alternatives. And also with COVID, it's really changed a lot of capability on, as we all know, just like we're doing here. I'd normally be in your studio, and we're all doing meetings on Zoom and WebEx, et cetera. And that is opening up opportunities for places like Newfoundland and Labrador, as long as you have broadband, which is critically important. And so it's really reshaping the way we think about our options, our opportunities pre-pandemic into the post-pandemic recovery and the way we organize ourselves. So all that's going to influence the debate, discussion, evidence that Forecast NL takes into account.
You mentioned out-migration, of course, always been a big problem here in Newfoundland and Labrador, except for back when we had the oil boom. There's, you know, a few more people moving back here, thankfully, but they've gone away again now. Are there any indications that more people may move back to this province or move to this province, even if they're not from Newfoundland and Labrador, because we are safe in terms of COVID-19? I mean, relatively safe. And, you know, we're relatively safe as well in terms of environmental disasters or lack thereof?
Well, certainly on the former one, and there's been some items in the media over the last few weeks about the number of people moving back from the mainland. And we know that the baby boomers were the bulge of the population, many of whom moved away looking for economic opportunity, and many of them now are entering retirement or approaching retirement. And if you're in Toronto or Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, facing some of the challenges with COVID and looking longingly back home and not being able to come back and visit like many do and who may have parents or children here, it definitely seems to be the case that some are choosing to move back home when they retire or maybe even sooner than that. I think it's still too early to say that's a trend. And the real telltale is going to be, and it's always the case with net migration, there's push and pull. So there's some pull now in light of freedom, relative freedom from COVID in our province. But the inverse of that, of course, are the economic impacts. And so our tourism industry is really hurt bad, like everywhere else, but it's a key part of rural diversification, especially in this province. The oil and gas sector, with all the spin-offs it has and the supply chain it has. So I think in the longer term, it's really going to be essential to see what happens with oil and gas, what happens with all the other amazing energy strengths we have. You know, the fishery continues to be a billion-dollar-plus industry. Aquaculture is growing. Mining is booming. Manufacturing is going to change globally because I think we're going to see supply chains contract because of the vulnerability we've witnessed with the pandemic. So in the end, I think for most working age people, obviously, it's jobs that matter and income. So our quality of life, our way of life, we all believe, is second to none. But you got to make a living, pay your mortgage, raise your family. And that remains to be seen in how we address challenges. You know, we look around the St. John's region, the tech sector is booming. This is Innovation Week, and there are tech firms in our region today that can't hire enough people. And yet we have a lot of people from the big projects with skilled trades who were making really good income, but those projects are all stalled or finishing. And so there's a lot of question marks still right now.
Talking about the tech industry, you know, it is Innovation Week, and we've been speaking with people from Kraken, for instance, earlier in the weekend, and they've actually grown during the pandemic. Same thing goes for Mesa Smart Thermostat. Some others that I can think of are Granville Biomedical, Blue Driver, and Lemur. These places are actually growing, and the tech sector is doing very well amidst the pandemic because basically you can work from anywhere if you're in the tech industry. It doesn't matter if you're in Newfoundland and Labrador. As long as you've got that good internet connection, as you mentioned, you're good. But if we see more baby boomers moving home, well, that's all well and good, but they're not really contributing to the economy the way that young working people would. So if NL is to survive, Newfoundland and Labrador, I mean, we've really got to get more young people here.
Well, that's right. And now, you know, boomers increasingly are staying in the labor force longer. 60 is the new 70 or whatever you want to say. They also are amazing resources in whatever communities they settle in, whether they're from Newfoundland and Labrador originally or they're from away and want to come here, because they all bring their networks, their knowledge from wherever they came from. Many are coming back with pensions and you know, savings that many get bored and then invest in business opportunities or can be mentors. So I think that's an enormous opportunity for the province, but in the long term, you need a healthy range of the demographic cohorts. It's called the population pyramid for a reason, and if you don't have a bulge in the middle, it's not a sustainable population distribution. We also have, I think it's really important to note, and Memorial University, you know, I'm a little biased on this front, but I think it's pretty obvious. We have produced out of Memorial and the College of North Atlantic over the last two decades a human resource capacity like this province has never seen. So we have loads of mid-career and early career professionals who graduated before and during the boom, who went into international and local companies, who have knowledge of global supply chains, knowledge of technology, knowledge of best practices. Many of them have traveled around the world. You know, during the boom at any one time, Memorial had 80 co-op students in Houston. You know, those people have expectations, they have knowledge, and they have drive that is being reflected in the tech sector takeoff now. And not just the tech sector. There's an entrepreneurial, the Munn Center for Entrepreneurship, has loads of examples of successful firms. So, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities in this province. Plus, when we look at climate change, there are some real challenges, extreme weather, coastal erosions, especially the impacts in the north. But when you look around the globe at the extreme heat, the forest fires, the pollution in many areas, we are relatively better off we need to work to make sure we stay that way, and we market ourselves along those lines. But I see opportunities as well as challenges.
And Kathy, this new project, Forecast NL, is the hope that you can come up with some ways for Newfoundland and Labrador to maybe wean ourselves off of oil and move into a greener economy?
I mean, yes and no. I think the global markets are moving away from oil as we know it. And I think a lot of what we need to focus on, especially with this particular project, is looking at the opportunities, like Rob said. And we can learn from things like COVID, that it was a huge change for a lot of people. And obviously, it's been very difficult. But as you mentioned, there's lots of groups that have been finding the opportunities within that change. And I think climate change and that shift to a lower carbon economy is the same kind of idea. And, you know, it's not a matter of Newfoundland and Labrador kind of deciding whether or not we're going to continue down the oil and gas route. I think the world is going to make that decision for us. And it's up to us to figure out whether or not we want to be ahead of that curve and prepared for it. I think about the analogy, like the grown-ups in the room have said, here's what's happening, and now we just need to figure out how we're going to make that work for us. So either we can kind of sit back and wait for it to happen, or we can think about what are the other opportunities that we can transition that industry, what are the opportunities that we can kind of lead the way in terms of making sure that that industry in Newfoundland and Labrador is as clean as possible, so it's a world leader in that regard. And really, what are the other opportunities that exist? I mean, this is such a resource-intensive spot, but also a very innovative place. So, you know, we're small, but we're mighty and we're agile, and I think to play on those strengths is really what we need to do. But if we don't create a safe place for that to happen, and break down the silos and engage with all partners at the table, all the stakeholders, and really have these honest conversations about what are we going to do, then, you know, we will just sit back and kind of watch the world make the decisions for us, and then we're left scrambling at the end. This is kind of like a global pandemic, but we have lots of warning. So, now we've had lots of warning and we've done very little with it up to this point. But, you know, now is the crunch time, the next 10 years. So we really need to get a move on and figure out where we want to go as a province.
Do you think that it's a little bit too late now to be proactive in this manner, or are we just being reactive now?
Absolutely not. I mean, there's still lots to be done in terms of climate change mitigation, but also adaptation. And that's a huge piece in this province as well. I mean, you know, I still think there's so many people who think about global warming and think, oh, this is going to be great. I can grow tomatoes in my backyard, you know. But at the same time, if it also means that you're going to lose your shed because of rising sea levels or extreme weather, and that's going to mean, you know, hard, cold cash in people's pockets that's going to go, if it's going to mean, how can we better prepare our communities to face these challenges going forward? So there's lots of things we can do in terms of mitigation, but in terms of mitigation, it's still obviously the next 10 years is really where that change needs to take place. It needs to take place swiftly now, but it's definitely not too late.
Well, I'll just say that the tomatoes in my backyard did not do very well this year. I only got one. And it was paltry. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on Target St. John's. We are speaking with Kathy Newhook, the Manager of Engagement and Communications at the Harris Center at Memorial University, and Rob Greenwood, the Associate Vice President of Public Engagement and External Relations and the Director of the Harris Center. And we'll be back. This is On Target St. John's. I'm Carrie Hodder. Stay tuned.
Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
Hello once again. Carrie Hodder filling in on Target St. John's today, having a great conversation with Kathy Newhook and Rob Greenwood from the Harris Center at Memorial University. We're talking about a new project called Forecast NL, and they are looking for you to volunteer to be a part of this project. Kathy, you've got some applications in for this already, but there's some areas of the province that you haven't received applications from yet.
Yeah, we've got quite a few applications already, but as I mentioned earlier, we want to make sure that we have representation from every part of the province. And the way we've broken down the numbers, so we have 45 spots, and we want to get 40 representatives, one from each of the electoral districts, because that's the easiest and most straightforward way of breaking down the province, I think, in terms of representation. And then the extra 5 spots then will be reserved for people who are specifically in the indigenous communities in the province. So making sure that we have adequate representation on that front as well. So like I said, we've got a lot of folks from different parts of the province. They're not all townies, which I was really pleased to see. It's nice to know our reach is beyond that. But we do have some funny gaps. So there are definitely spots that are I'm waiting for applications from. You know, I have a lot of siblings who live in Mount Pearl, and none of them have applied yet. So I found that kind of interesting. And, you know, places like Bonavista, I know, are really active on this sort of thing. And so we're waiting on applications from all of those spots.
Okay, and Rob, this is really a good learning opportunity for the people that take part in it, but not only for those that are participants. You hope that it's going to be a good learning opportunity for pretty much anyone in the province.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of the Harris Center programming all the time is to maximize our audience of people inside and often outside the province, especially because even before the pandemic, we always webcast our sessions live, and we digitally record them and keep them on our website. Many faculty use our materials in their courses. Of course, they're always often the presenters, the expertise we draw on. But we also have the people who are not in the university who have expertise who are part of these sessions. But it's also essential, as we said at the beginning of the show, to have people who are interested citizens. And it's why, you know, we don't use a formal definition of citizenship here. You need to be a resident of Newfoundland and Labrador for 6 months or more in each year. We also emphasize we want youth involved. So you can be 16 years of age or older. And when we do our demographics, you know, there's a percent of the population between 1 day old and 16 years of age. So we actually have that full cohort needing to be filled up by young people 16 and over. And so as we go along, we want the people on the Citizens Forum to be representative, but all the people who apply to be involved in the Citizens Forum won't be accepted. We have a steering committee co-chaired by Brad DeYoung, professor at Memorial, and Elizabeth Beale, who's on the National Climate Choices Institute board, and a great cross-section of people from all perspectives on the steering committee. They'll do the final selection of who's on the Citizens Forum, but we will notify all the people who apply of all the sessions going forward. And when the Citizens Forum members put their responses to each of the sessions online, everyone else in the province can then join in that dialogue. We want the media to obviously join in and make sure that all those different voices, attitudes, perspectives, and hopefully as we start to gain some areas of consensus around what are the facts, what are the obvious directions for Newfoundland and Labrador, but also what are some of the remaining gaps. And so all the Memorial Present sessions, Synergy sessions, Galbraith, will be out there for everybody to benefit from. But then you have that dialogue with non-experts engaging with the expert stuff. And I think that's where the real learning will be.
Well, I'm learning a lot from you guys here today, that's for sure. And Kathy Newhook, when it comes to Forecast NL, if there's someone out there listening, maybe from Mount Pearl, maybe from Bonavista, or anywhere in Newfoundland and Labrador, and they want to take part in this, they want to put in an application, where do they get some information for that?
Well, the easiest spot to go is just the Harris Center website, and that you can find that at mun.ca/Harris Center. You can also find links to it on Twitter and Facebook. We've been putting those out on the daily, pretty much, trying to promote the Citizen Forum. And, I mean, just a broad message for people that this really isn't about being an expert in any of these issues. If you know nothing about climate change, if you're just worried about the future for your kids or you're just worried about your own future, this is the opportunity for you, because it's not, I mean, I'm not an expert in climate change by any stretch. So we're all learning about all of this at the same time. And I think that makes it really an easy place for people to ask the hard questions, but also ask the, like, ask the questions that seem obvious to the experts, but they aren't obvious to the general population. And I think we need to kind of raise our level of understanding about all of these issues and really be a bit more of an engaged, informed citizenry as we go forward as a province, because, you know, there's a lot at stake for us.
And who are some of these experts that will be taking part in these sessions? Are they local?
Yes and no. I mean, we have lots of local experts on all of these issues, and broader than just climate change, as Rob mentioned. You know, we have tons of experts on the economy and how that all breaks down and how climate change might impact different places. But we also have a broad network. At the university, we're well placed because we have a broad network of expertise across the country and even internationally that we can avail of. So if there are experts in particular areas, like a lot of the research, I've been looking at things like, you know, what are they doing in the UK? What are they doing in Australia? What are some kind of interesting models that people have been approaching elsewhere that kind of look and feel a little bit like Newfoundland and Labrador? Because sometimes the easiest examples or the closest neighbors to us aren't necessarily in the same situation, but there are certainly international experts out there that we can avail of. But we have no shortage of local ones, for sure.
And Rob Greenwood, a question for you. If you get an application from someone that says, I am a climate change denier, that they just don't believe it, would they be welcome to take part in this process as well?
Absolutely, and bring it on, because we really, our society and our democracy, and that's the beauty of it, it's about diversity. And it's a diversity of opinion and freedom of speech. And the university and core of the Harris Center brand is integrity and independence. So nobody has a monopoly on the truth. The key thing a university degree teaches you, I believe, is to question and to doubt and to know how much you don't know. And so there are some clear facts that experts can report on, and people who deny those, bring it on and say, okay, why don't you believe that and what's the evidence? And then you have people discuss the source of that evidence, and some of it might get technical about methodology. Some of it might just be very basic about sources. And the people who live and breathe these different topics, that's the beauty of scholarship. People at the university dedicate their lives to a particular field, a particular topic, and to become a tenured faculty member or a tenure-track faculty member, you're judged by your peers. Peer review is what it's all about. And it's all about critique. So you have to have a pretty thick skin to make your way in academia and to succeed. And similarly in the community, if we have groupthink, that is not a solution for resilience. That's not a solution for innovation. We have to have debate, discussion, disagreement. And in fact, one of the challenges in our society these days, and we look at our friends in the US of A, who were some of the founders of some of these basic principles, but the practice of it has strayed of late, is that willingness to engage in debate without taking it personally. And so much of the social media stuff these days, there's ad hominem attacks. You don't attack the issue, you attack the person. Well, folks, climate change, economic success, social equity doesn't care about our opinions and our little squabbles. The truth will out. And we've got to get serious and be adults and be respectful and take on in a welcoming way all comers with all perspectives. And that really is the Harris Center brand at its heart. And I think we'll be bringing that to this project. And I think the results will be clear in the respectful dialogue online. We'll do some synthesis reports as we go through the process. And we'll have a conference to bring all these players together in 2021, I guess it is, Kathy, or early 2022.
All right, we are speaking with Rob Greenwood, the Associate Vice President of Public Engagement and External Relations and the Director of the Harris Center at Munn, along with Kathy Newhook, the Manager of Engagement and Communications at the Harris Center. We're talking about Forecast NL, a new project, and they are looking for some volunteers. So if you are interested in that, go and look up Harris Center, munn.ca/Harris Center. Is that right, Kathy?
Yes, that's it.
All right, perfect. So go and check that out if you're interested in becoming one of these volunteers and learning a lot, no doubt. We're going to continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. This is On Target St. John's. Stay tuned.
Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
Welcome back once again. Carrie Hotter with you on Target St. John's. We are speaking with representatives of the Harris Center at Memorial University. Rob Greenwood is the Associate Vice President of Public Engagement and External Relations and the Director of the Harris Center. And Kathy Newhook is the Manager of Engagement and Communications at the Harris Center. We're talking about a new program, a new project that they've got going on. It's called Forecast NL, and they want Newfoundlanders and Labradorians to volunteer for it. Kathy, you guys set up a steering committee to come up with some key themes for these sessions. What would those key themes be?
Well, I mean, there's a lot in there, but we really wanted to kind of start the conversation with talking about what does climate change look like in Newfoundland and Labrador. And, I mean, for climate change experts, this is a no-brainer. But I think for most people, it's something that we really don't know what it looks like here. Because when you listen to the news, what you're hearing is, you know, there's forest fires and floods and drought and this sort of thing. But that's not necessarily what is going to be in store for this province. So looking at what does that look like here, and what are the things that we kind of need to be worried about or preparing for, and especially when it comes to the north. I mean, you know, we may be, Newfoundland and Labrador may be spared drought and significant forest fires and this sort of thing, but we're also going to be impacted as that happens globally, you know, when it comes to food supply and when it comes to climate refugees and that sort of thing. So what are the kind of things that we need to prepare for? And then in the north, what do we need to prepare for? Because they're obviously seeing a lot of that, a lot of climate change impacts playing out already. And certainly that kind of requires a different approach in terms of what we need to do. And then one of the second conversations, or one of the next conversations we want to have, is kind of addressing the elephant in the room, so to speak, the transitioning. How do we transition to a greener economy? Or if oil and gas demand is going down globally, what is it that we're going to do? I mean, we're clearly dependent on it for provincial oil revenues, for providing essential services, but what do we need to do to prepare that? Where does that leave the Newfoundland and Labrador oil and gas industry and indeed the economy as a whole as we transition to that? And what are the opportunities in terms of green tech and environmental industry and all the other opportunities that come into play when we're talking about a lower carbon economy?
Okay. Go ahead.
Those are some of the big things, obviously. And then we'll also get into stuff like, you know, food security and renewable energy and how do we adapt and our infrastructure and those sorts of more tangible things.
It is all tied to climate change. So much of it is really here in Newfoundland and Labrador, all the issues that we have. I mean, it is astounding, really, that there are climate deniers out there. People are probably going to give me some flack for that online. But anyways, Rob Greenwood, when we were speaking during the commercial break just now, you mentioned a knowledge mobilization committee. Explain that to me.
Right. So as we set up the project, we put a steering committee in place, as I mentioned, co-chaired by Dr. Brad DeYoung and Elizabeth Beale, with a great cross-section of people with climate, economic, social science backgrounds from inside and outside the university. And they are helping our team figure out the themes that Kathy just talked about. They are experts in their various areas, and so they'll help us find expertise from inside and outside the province for our various sessions. We've talked a lot about the Citizens Forum, and that's really key for us, and we want to make sure we get a lot more youth putting their names in, 16 years and over. Any school teachers out there, I know everyone's up to their ears in the school system, but any youth networks, we'd love for youth from all over the province to get their names in, and that's for that Citizens Forum. But then the third key element in structure terms for the project is what we call, it's a university buzzword these days, knowledge mobilization. Because all too often in the past, we had lots of great research go into books and journal articles and sit in the library, and experts would read it, but not many people who could put it to use. And so knowledge mobilization is how do you literally mobilize all that amazing resource. And it's a key area the Harris Center is active in. If anyone has never been on our YAFL website, you need to go there and plug in any topic you're interested in, and it'll pull up existing and recent research and experts from the community and the university. The Knowledge Mobilization Committee is the mechanism we're putting in place for this project for organizations to engage with us. And so we don't have any government representatives on the steering committee, and the independence of the Harris Center and this work is really key. But in the end, it is federal, provincial, municipal, indigenous governments that are often responsible for the regulations and the infrastructure decisions, et cetera. So we really need them to be in touch with the project, not telling us what to do the work on, although they have a lot of good inputs that we want to hear, but especially being part of this committee, hearing what's coming out of the project, letting us know if they think there's any gaps. And by the same token, we want industry associations, we want non-governmental organizations, we want climate advocacy groups, the full cross-section. We want to be part of that committee. Plus, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if some of these organizations are having a speaker or a session or a forum on a relevant topic, we can piggyback on what they're doing. Or if they're bringing in a speaker, which is less common these days with everything online. So, you know, it's really about informing our project and helping mobilize what we come up with. We're also really pleased the provincial government has provided financial support to the project. They were thinking about establishing their own climate, independent climate advisory committee. And when they learned about our project, offered to partner, understanding they wouldn't control the project. They're not on the steering committee, but it really is a win-win. So we're really delighted with that.
Excellent. And you guys are going to be holding these sessions over the next 18 months or so. Kathy, how often will they take place? Will it be once a month or every couple of weeks?
Once a month is kind of the benchmark for me. But of course, how that plays out exactly, I mean, it depends on the topics and the availability of speakers. But we also are really cognizant of the fact that people who are on the citizen forum will be engaging in these. So there's only so much time and energy people have to volunteer for this sort of thing. So we're going to be careful about not programming too much that is overwhelming, but enough that obviously we get to cover off all our material. And, you know, taking breaks in the summertime when we get to enjoy the actual little bit of nice weather we get in the province.
Yeah, that would be a nice little reward for your volunteers, for sure. So let's just go over this again. You're looking for 45 average citizens from Newfoundland and Labrador to participate in this Citizens Forum, where they are going to be wading through information and hearing from experts in the public and online sessions over the next 18 months. What are you looking for in these participants?
Well, we want people from, as Kathy mentioned, all over the province. We need lots of folks to engage in all the sessions. They're going to commit to participate in all the sessions, either live or digitally recorded. And after every session, we've got a platform, electronic platform being set up. It's kind of a town square online. And so folks can say what they learned from each session, what are the gaps, how can they apply the lessons in their family, their community, their sector, and then have a dialogue. And that's going to go on for a year and a half, and then we'll have that roll-up conference. And I think along the way, there's going to be a lot of lessons. And at the end, I think some concluding directions, and maybe we'll inform next steps for the Harris Center on where we go with this.
Excellent. I can't thank you guys enough for bringing this information to our program and to our listeners today. Much appreciated. Rob Greenwood and Kathy Newhook from the Harris Center at Munn. Again, if people want to find out more and if they would like to volunteer, munn.ca/Harris Center. You can get all the information there. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Our pleasure.
Excellent show once again today on Target St. John's.